And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And you know, in the past couple of days here on The Extra, we've been talking about the upcoming elections. Ballots have gone out. You may have already received yours in your mailbox. If not, it should come in the next 2 or 3 days. And with that November election right around the corner, despite it being an off year for elections, there are many issues on the ballot needing decisions, including several that could impact business and our economic climate. Joining us with more information this morning, we are so pleased to welcome to the show Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. Rachel, welcome to The Extra.
Good morning, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so glad to have you here. Now, last year, we understand that ballot measures related to pandemic recovery were of interest to many. What are some of the larger issues that state legislators are looking to address through this year's ballot measures?
Well, we've actually seen a lot of citizen initiatives that have come to our ballots this year, and definitely a theme in terms of fiscal matters, so dealing with the taxes that we pay, a number of Tabor measures, Taxpayers Bill of Rights, and tinkering with how that works or how much our governments are collecting and keeping and where they might spend that extra money.
And after all these years of dealing with Tabor, I mean, a lot of people know what it is, but maybe you can go into a little bit more detail on how that affects, you know, each and every one of us. In terms of, you know, we understand it's on the ballot locally as well. Tell us about El Paso County's 1A.
So 1A is a measure that the El Paso County is proposing, and what it would do is reset the Tabor collection cap to 2021 levels. And so if you need a Tabor refresher, which most of us do, let's be honest, Tabor does a couple of things, and one of them is it says that government can only grow by a certain percentage each year that's based on population growth and the consumer price index, and that governments, if they collect more money than that cap, they either have to give it back to the taxpayers or they need to ask voters if they can keep it. And so the county, the city, and some others are asking for permission to keep some Tabor dollars that have been over-collected. In this case, the county is asking if they can reset that cap, which would mean they would collect a little more in tax dollars. And for this year, the first about $15 million of that estimated would go to road paving and road maintenance projects in the county, as well as to some high-priority parks projects. Of course, we've all seen our parks get so much more use in the past year and a half as we've been outside because of the pandemic.
Right. And sometimes we hear of these proposals as being referred to as Tabor clawbacks because the visual kind of does explain it a bit. We understand Colorado Springs, the city of Colorado Springs, also has a Tabor measure on the ballot for its residents. Not everyone who gets the ballot, of course, if you're not within city limits, will be facing this. It's called 2D and it's tied to wildfire mitigation. Can you tell us about the specific of this one?
Yes, so that one would also reset the city's cap, as I described, and then it would set aside about $15-20 million to create a wildfire mitigation fund, and that would double the amount of wildfire mitigation efforts that the city is able to do. So programs like helping neighbors to do mitigation around their homes and businesses, chipping, brush and things that they have cut down on their properties, adding to staff that's responsible for evacuation planning and things of that nature. And certainly, I think with all the smoke that we've seen this summer from catastrophic fires across the West and how that's become part of our weather forecasts, that's certainly one that's top of mind for a lot of people in the community.
Certainly. And for folks who want to learn more about these and some of the other ones we're going to be talking about, where can they go for information?
Well, we have put our business guide to the ballot on our website. And so that covers the four issues that we are supporting. that we think are important to business and to the community. And you can find that at cscedc.com or coloradospringchamberedc.com/ballot. And we've also got information on there about how to vote, how to track your ballot, and then other related information.
Right, right. There are ways that you can find out exactly where your ballot is in the mail and track when it's accepted into the El Paso County Clerk and Recorder's Office, which I think gives a lot of peace of mind to people, especially after some of the questions that popped out of the 2020 election. Our guest today here on The Extra, Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. When we come back after this break, we're going to be talking about TOPS funding and a measure that could impact that. That's coming up after the break. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back on The Extra with Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. We're talking about the election of this year, 2021. It's not an election. It's rather, well, I guess, I don't know, when you're not electing people, I guess you're electing some people to school board positions, but mostly what we're being asked to decide are measures that affect money, property taxes, and the like. And so joining us to talk about another measure that is going to be facing voters in Colorado Springs TOPS program. It's trails, open spaces, and parks. So why don't you tell us about the quality of life and how TOPS First interacts with it and what TOPS is used for?
Well, Shannon, I think that we've got something pretty special going in El Paso County, and that is we have figured out how to create funding measures that are very specific in terms of what voters can expect to get for their money and accountability measures and so forth. And one of the first that we came up with in this region was the TOPS program, or Trails, Open Space, and Parks. It's been almost 20 years now, and in that time, that program, which is funded by a penny on $10 in sales tax, has protected thousands of acres of really unique open spaces. It's built trails around the region. It's created neighborhood parks. And so 2C would continue that measure. It had a 20-year sunset. And then it would add some additional funding. So it would be two pennies on $10. And then change the program a little bit to respond to the changing needs in the community. So that would be building some neighborhood parks that have been on the list for years, but not been built yet, particularly in newer areas of our city out east. And also it would allow for more maintenance as our city gets older. We've got tennis courts with weeds growing out of the cracks and picnic benches that you can't sit on because the benches are long gone. And so it allows to more funding to address issues like that.
Right. And so that's why the renewal is needed. If it wasn't renewed, what would happen?
Well, we would see much, much less funding to our parks, trails, and open spaces. And that is why so many of us live here. And as we said before, during the pandemic, I think a lot of us had a whole new appreciation for the outdoor recreational facilities that we're privileged to have in our community. And a lot of folks went out and used them for the first time. It's places that families go in their neighborhoods to get some fresh air and some exercise. It's how we commute. It's how we commune with nature. So this is a really important program that helps us to maintain that quality of life in those outdoor spaces that we love so much.
And just to clarify, you said 2 cents on every $10. So this is an additional sales tax, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Because some of them I know could be property taxes, but this is what we're talking about is so you would pay an extra, say if you're buying a $10, DVD or something, then you would add on another 2 cents to whatever tax you're paying, and that would go towards 2C, and that's in addition to what the funding would already be. Now, I know to get some of these answers, it's great to listen to programs like this, and I appreciate all our listeners doing this, but sometimes people want to do a deeper dive into these issues during election times. So can you tell us about, I understand the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC has a Chamber Connect event where some of these issues are talked about at length. Can you tell us about them?
Yes, I appreciate you asking about that. That's on Thursday at lunchtime, so you can eat some lunch while learning about what's on your ballot, and we will go into more depth on how Tabor works and how property tax is calculated. These are complicated budget formulas that we use in the state of Colorado, and they're fairly unique to us, and understanding how those work will really help folks decide how they want to vote on some of these measures that ask them to tinker with those formulas.
Right. How do people attend? I mean, is it open to anyone?
Yes. We provide these sorts of services to anybody in the business community, anybody in the larger community. We know that businesses are busy running their businesses, and they don't have time to dig into ballot language and talk to proponents and opponents about what the consequences of these things might be. So that is something that we are happy to do, and it's a big part of our mission.
Right, right. And in doing so, it also helps to gain a little bit, I guess, of the feedback that you might have coming back from those business owners and other people who are looking at how this affects the business climate.
Absolutely. And actually, right now is the time of year when we do our legislative agenda, which sets our priorities for the year in terms of what policies at the local and state levels we will pursue, we will support, whether that's at the state capitol or at a city council meeting or at the ballot box.
Okay. Well, to find out more about this, Rachel, we guided people to the Colorado Springs Chamber EDC.com website. Is there a specific area they should look at for finding out information about the Chamber Connect that you mentioned, as well as other issues?
Yes. Just remember /ballot, and you'll get to all that great information.
All right. Well, Rachel Beck is our guest today. She's the Government Affairs Vice President for the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. And she's going to be coming back in the next half hour talking about a host of issues, including the DC fly-in. We'll tell you about that, what that's all about, as well as how you can gain access to lawmakers and policy experts and get your voices heard. That's coming up as The Extra continues. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra. Today, our focus is on the November election. Now, it is an off year, you know, no congressional representatives being elected this time, no national lawmakers being decided at this time, but there are a number of races for school boards as well as funding measures that you will be asked to decide, including what we were hearing about from Rachel Beck, Vice President of Government Affairs for Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. Some of the more interesting ones, 1A for El Paso County voters, City of Colorado Springs 2D and 2C, 2C involving TOPS funding, trails and open spaces. So switching gears now, Rachel, the Chamber and EDC recently hosted its annual DC fly-in. That's a trip where you bring your members with you to D.C. to meet with Colorado's congressional delegation. Great that this could happen again, despite the pandemic. So tell us about this year's trip.
We were very excited to have that happen again this year, Shannon. But before we talk about that, there is one more ballot measure that we've endorsed. Can I tell you about that
one? You bet. Yeah, go for it.
That's on State Proposition 120. Which would lower the assessment rate for our property tax bills, both for business and for residential properties. Housing affordability is something that our board and our members have really put at the top of our priority list. And as we determine what tools we may have in our toolbox to address that issue, it's not an easy one. This is one that the Gazette called a hedge against rapidly rising real estate prices and the property tax bills that go along with that. So we have endorsed Prop 120 as well.
Okay. So, and if people want to find out about these, again, I just want to promote, you have a Chamber Connect event coming up this Thursday where people can find out more from you and other members of your staff. So let's talk about this DC fly-in. Sounds like a fun time.
It is a fun time, but it's also a great opportunity for our businesses and our community leaders, our elected officials from the region to interact directly with our federal elected officials. We were able to speak to most of our state delegation, so our senators and our other members of Congress, and then to learn about topics that are important to us at the federal level. So we took 70 people this year, and one of the days that we're in D.C., we divvy up into four small groups and go tackle important topics. And so this year that was economic development, always high on our list, of course. That's our bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Defense, which is 40% of our economy. And then two topics that are really current and important right now, and that's pandemic recovery, continuing to support our businesses as they, I was going to say recover from the pandemic, but in some ways we're still getting through it.
Right.
And then, as I mentioned, housing affordability, one of our priority topics. So we went and talked to a variety of federal agencies, congressional staffers, and think tanks who had expertise to offer on those topics. Maybe offered some advice on how to get federal dollars into the community, and other action items we'll follow up on.
And so, I mean, there are so many things to unpack in what you just said. I mean, first of all, you know, when you're talking about recovering from the pandemic businesses, you know, I think when we thought that there would be at least some curb on the high transmissibility of it and anyone, you know, nobody had protection a year ago. And now a significant population, percentage of the population does have vaccine protection against COVID. We imagined that everybody would want to get to work, get back to work any chance they could. And certainly that has not been the reality. And now we're facing worker shortages, which has then put pressure on the supply chain because apparently there's not enough people to unload ships, container ships at the ports, and not enough truckers to then take that merchandise out of the ports. And they're ending up with like double or triple the number of containers there at the ports stuck because they don't have. I mean, so it all just keeps, you know, troubling in quadrupling in terms of the magnitudes of the problem.
It certainly is an interesting and challenging time to do business, and you mentioned a lot of the factors. The workforce shortages are one that we're particularly attuned to, and the pandemic did not cause the workforce shortages that we're seeing, but it certainly exacerbated and accelerated a lot of them. We're having a national conversation right now about where does a person need to do their work and working conditions, and people are taking a hard look again at, you know, what's the balance in terms of their work life and their home life, and all of that is certainly affecting the workforce. If you look at the numbers in the community, we have rebounded in Colorado Springs faster than almost any community in the country, which is something to be really proud of. But they don't tell the whole story, and there is a mismatch between a lot of the openings and the skill sets needed to fill the openings are not necessarily what the people looking for jobs have. And so making sure that we're doing skills development, we partner with the Workforce Center on a lot of that work is really important. And of course, something that the Chamber and EEDC does every day, every year, is we are constantly looking to make sure that we are growing the sorts of jobs available to people in the community, whether that's helping existing businesses to grow or bringing companies in from outside the area. And we want to make sure that those are jobs that are high quality jobs, you know, that pay a good living wage, that have good working conditions, because that contributes to so many other factors of community success.
Right. And on this DC fly-in, when you were tackling topics like defense and economic recovery and economic development, I mean, when you're tackling these, I mean, do you find that being face-to-face with Colorado's congressional delegation gets more, they're more present in terms of their attentiveness to whatever issues you're bringing to them?
Well, they're busy people, absolutely. And so it does help that we go to them. They spend most of their time in D.C. You know, they come home periodically throughout the year, but they have a lot of demands on their time. And so it is really valuable to go there to D.C., to be in the Capitol. And most years, this year it's still closed, so we were near the Capitol. but that really does make it easier to have some of those important conversations.
What would you say would be the key takeaways from this year's trip as you're looking back at it?
A couple to note. We went to see the Tax Foundation, which probably sounds like just about the most boring snooze fest we could come up with. But believe it or not, everybody loves going to talk to the Tax Foundation. They do a great job of explaining how tax policy really affects ordinary businesses. And one of the things that they told us is that Colorado's tax structure does not compare well to other states when it comes to certain industries that we at the Chamber and EDC have identified in our economic development strategic plan as important to growing in the region, so advanced manufacturing in particular. So we will take that information, and we had a state legislator with us on the trip who works on the tax committee and is well-placed to make sure that we can take that information from D.C. home to the state capitol and see what we can do to make some improvements in the tax structure so we can continue to grow that industry in the region.
Okay, so in terms of how their profits and losses and equipment is taxed, all of that is something that can be maybe tweaked at the legislative level, is what you're saying, so that it can make Colorado more attractive for those types of businesses.
Yeah, exactly. And we can maintain that competitive edge. We also have a lot of professional services in the region. Those are high-skilled, high-paying jobs. And a lot, you mentioned taxes on property and equipment. Those are businesses that don't have a lot of property and equipment. You know, It's a largely intellectual business. It's about people and, you know, maybe a good deal of computers and software. And so we need to update some of our tax incentives that are really focused on giving tax breaks on tangible things to be more attractive to those businesses as well.
Okay, good to know. All right. And we've been guiding people to go to the Colorado Springs Chamber ETC.com website. And on there, I guess you also have more information about the DC fly-in, and that's under /DC. Just look up that. We'll be back with more of The Extra. Rachel Beck is our guest today. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We are here with Rachel Beck, who is the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Chamber of Commerce and EDC. So, Rachel, I know we're going to talk about ways that people can access lawmakers and policy experts in addition to the DC fly-in. But before we move on, why don't you want to once again run down for us the measures and proposals that voters will be facing in the election ballot that has arrived in mailboxes or will be arriving in the next couple of days, the ones that are endorsed by the chamber?
We are supporting Proposition 120. That's a state measure to reduce property taxes. And then three local measures, El Paso County 1A, which would put more money toward roads and parks, 2C, which would extend the city's TOPS program, also for parks, trails, and open spaces, and then the city of Colorado Springs 2D, which would increase wildfire mitigation efforts in our community. And then there's a number of other things on the ballot that folks will see, but those are the ones that we think are most important to a strong business climate and a strong community.
And impactful in making sure to ensure that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So you mentioned the DC fly-in that you do, and you do that annually, and people can find out more information on your website about it. But you also provide access to lawmakers and policy experts with other events. What other upcoming events do you have planned for members?
Well, on December 1st, we're going to do one that's one of my favorites and always gets good reviews, and that's our annual legislative roundtable. So our state legislators are in session at the Capitol in Denver from January through May. It's a busy time, and much of the work they do will have direct impacts on businesses. And so we put together this opportunity for businesses, but really anyone in the community is welcome to come to speak directly to those legislators as we go into the session. And we do a really unique format that allows people to have more in-depth conversations with each of those senators and representatives. So rather than doing a panel, which is kind of traditional, we put people in small groups at tables of 10 to 12 people, and then we rotate the legislators from table to table. So there's much more time for questions and discussions. And then, you know, we encourage people to follow up later if they need to.
Okay. There's a dating experiment that they do like that, where you move from table to table.
We do call it speed dating affectionately around the office.
Because it's very like that, but in a very serious way. You can these are serious questions, serious lawmakers, serious issues that everyone's tackling. I love it. So once again, guiding people to the website is probably the best way so they can find out about this and other events that you have going on.
Yes, that one is December 1st. It's at the Broadmoor from 4 to 6. So we have some food and beverages, and it may be serious business, but we have a lot of fun, too.
Well, and the Broadmoor has good food, so there you go.
Absolutely.
Rachel, we talk with you often about, the laws as they, get made. There's that saying, what is it, that some things you don't want to see getting made, sausage and laws, right? But you seem to thrive on it, and I appreciate so much that you bring what's happening at the legislative level, whether it's, local, state, or national, that you bring it to us who are here at the local level. So we sometimes feel, I think, that all of that is happening at a remove from real Jane Does and John Does who are living around the area, that it's happening to us and not as a part of us. And I really appreciate the way that you present it as a way that we can all get involved in this and have our say in it.
Well, thank you, Shannon. I really appreciate that. Reading bills and ballot text is my idea of a good time, and I'm glad that it can be helpful.
Some people go for true crime podcasts. You go for thick legislative documents, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, once again, to our listeners, if you would like to find out more information on the Chamber and EDC's ballot guide, please visit ColoradoSpringsChamberEDC.com/ballot. And for more information on that DC fly-in trip, what topics were tackled and how you might be part of future trips, visit ColoradoSpringsChamberEDC.com/DC. Rachel Beck, any final words in our last minute here?
Well, you talked, Shannon, about the process being complicated and sometimes a little mysterious, and it can be, but we have a lot of good folks representing us at the local level, at the state level, and the federal level, and I would encourage people, try not to be intimidated. You are experts in what you do, and our elected leaders really do appreciate hearing directly from their constituents. When we at the Chamber and EDC can help to simplify things, we're happy to do that, but also encourage people to take advantage of these opportunities to speak directly to the folks who are making the laws.
Right. I hear you, and hopefully our listeners do too. Thank you, Rachel Beck.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. Always a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for sharing this conversation here on The Extra. Have a great Tuesday.